All right. So last week, we talked about through it all, God has a plan. We're in the book of Genesis. We've been going through Genesis. If you're new here, we really prayed intently about what God wanted us to do for Scripture. And he brought us back to the beginnings. And he wanted us to go to the beginnings to realize where we are in our timeline today. Because the beginnings tell us a lot about the end. In fact, Scripture has a lot to talk about. And it is really about life with Christ. And all the Old Testament points to Christ. The New Testament points back to Christ. And so we're living in times where we've seen the fulfillment of prophecy in the Old Testament. Now we're looking for the fulfillment of the prophecy of the end times. And we're watching it unfold before our very eyes. Interesting understanding as believers, as we watch the times that we live in. In fact, the Bible talks us about, as believers, we need to understand the time that we live. In the times that we're living, we need to understand what times we are in, what timeline that we have seen in the past, and the prophecies that have been fulfilled. And so part of what's taken place in the Old Testament and why God has allowed us to go back to the Old Testament is to show that he has been there since the beginning. And he hasn't left us or forsaken us, and he's not done yet, right? And he's given us understanding so that we'll lock on the Word, read the Word, get understanding of the Word so that we know the times that we're living. So last week we seen that through all the things that mankind does and the situations that we get ourselves into, frankly, that God still is at work. He hasn't left us, and he's still weaving in and through our lives to get accomplished what his plan is. Now, we absolutely have to understand that in order to fulfill and finish the plans that he has for us, right? It's one of those things we have to mature spiritually so that we can grasp what he's doing and then partner with him. So no longer, in Galatians it talks about no longer that I live, we come to a place of dying to self. So now no longer I live, but it's Christ that lives in me. So therefore, his plan is more important than mine. All right? So what he wants me to do, I have to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow him. Because he already took up his cross for you. And what he's asking us to do is take up ours for him. And so to lay down our life for his plans. And so some of us are in a different road or a different place in that timeline. Some of us are in our beginning walks with Christ, where we just now learned that we can have a relationship with him, and that we can hear his voice, and that we can do his will in our life. And some of us have walked with the Lord for a long time, and we're still trying to get ourselves under his covering, under his leadership, right? Because we know who he is, we believe in him, we've read the Word, but we still are kind of dealing with self, right? We're still pretty selfish about what we want and more reliant on what we can do for ourselves than what God wants. And some of us are sold out. We're just there. We're just doing whatever God's called us to do until he comes and takes us out of this place, right? And so whatever place you are in your relationship with Christ is that you start where you are and you just listen and work forward from there, because he hasn't left you, right? Even when sometimes you're going, man, I don't get this thing. I don't really understand it. Or maybe you're so busy, you're not even listening. You're just kind of going through your life. But God's still there. He's still at work. And so the quicker we can kind of get ourselves under control of the Holy Spirit, the better off we'll be. And so we look at through it all, he's been there, and he's gone through these things in the Old Testament. We've jumped in Genesis, and we're at a place now where Jacob, we've gone through the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and now we're looking at Jacob's life. And so when you look at the New Testament, they always say the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Those guys are the patriarchs. And so we even understand that today, right? But when you look at, we've been looking at Abraham's life, we looked at Isaac's life, now we're looking at Jacob's life, and what do we find? They're just people too. They are. They're just like us. They're not any different. They make some stupid mistakes. Right? And when we look at Scripture, we can always, it's easier to look there and go, them guys. Oh man, can't they see what's going on? Right? And yet we're living our life, and it seems like it's easier to look at somebody else's than it is to really analyze self, isn't it? It's easier to talk about somebody else and their issues than to really think about where we are and to really come into that place where we're allowing the Holy Spirit to get real with us and we get real with Him. And not only do we get real with Him, but we also start living our lives real around others, that we're not pretending. We're not secret disciples. We're honest and we're real. I talked to a friend of mine who came, spent some time with me, and he's drifted a little and has come back kind of toward the Lord. And how many of us have been in a drift? We know what that's like. We've kind of drifted away, and we're really trying to get back to that place where we're hearing God and working out our place and kind of getting where we can hear Him clearly and doing what He's called. And it was really good to hear an honest response of where he was, so that we could get real and pray it through, right? And until we get there, we're living a fantasy world. We're walking in a non-reality. It's a fantasy life, and we're just going along with what we think is good and what's right in our own eyes. And we're not really grabbing a hold of God's perspective, because it's easier to see things through our perspective and not through God's. Why? Because when we see through things in God's perspective, change has to happen, right? And we really don't like that word very well, right? Because change means something's got to be different. And maybe we've gotten the groove and we kind of like it that way, right? But when the Holy Spirit convicts, there has to be some changing. And so today we're gonna see that the deception of life and what's real is kind of abstract. It's kind of in a place to where God's still working, but people are still moving in their own emotions of life. And it's the life of Jacob. And so we can see last time that the deception of Laban, his father-in-law, and his wife now, his wife's, because he ended up being deceived on the first go-around and had to marry the older sister. And because Laban deceived him, he had to deal with that. And now Rebekah is now coming to the picture. Now he's got two wives, and he's still under Laban's roof. And so his wives now are having children, and there's competition going on because Rebekah's barren, right? We're going to look at this, and we're going to see how her heart is to have children. And back then, having male babies was like a big deal, right? And so they wanted to have children. Now just to get perspective for you guys, did God know what was going on? Absolutely. He knew exactly what was going on. In fact, he even told beforehand through Abraham, and he prophesied and said to Abraham, you will be the father of multitudes of people, father of many nations, right? Well, how is that going to work? Well, God knows how it was going to work. Now, so then we go through Abraham, and then Isaac, his son, which we went through that whole mess because they didn't listen to God, but yet God had his way through Isaac. And then we go through his son, Jacob, which wasn't the firstborn, but was the leader, right? Because his brother Esau was concerned about other things. He lost his birthright. He lost his place because he sold it off and was more concerned about the world things. And then we found out that there was separation in God's plan there, because Esau went off to be with an uncle who had left. Remember, it was Isaac's brother, which was a half-brother that came through a woman that was Abraham's wife's handmaiden, right? Created an Ishmael. Anyway, we see a lot of dysfunction. You guys can go back and read the story. I don't want to go over it all because it's interesting. And it weaves in and out. And you'll see the dysfunction of mankind all through the Scriptures. And yet God is still at work. And how he works is he works through people who are listening, or somehow come to that place of listening. Remember last week we seen that Leah, right? Leah finally got it. She had a couple kids and she was going, "Now I will serve you, Lord, because what you've done." And he's been there the whole time, right? But she wasn't getting it. And I think sometimes we're there, right? We come to a place of a mountaintop experience. Maybe we had something happen to us and God got us through it. And we go, "Now I get it, God. I'm all in." And then how long does that last? Until the next crisis? "Oh, yeah, God, I forgot." Right? Or do we really sell out and be all in? So let's jump in today, and I've entitled this message, "The God Who Hears." And we're going to start it off on chapter 30, verse 1. "Now, when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she became jealous of her sister. And she said to Jacob, 'Give me children or else I die.'" Does it sound like a little pity party going on? "Then Jacob's anger burned against Rachel, and he said, 'Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?' And she said, 'Here is my maid, Bella. So go into her that she may bear on my knees, that through her I too may have children.'" So now we're making more soul decisions, right? We're going, "Oh, God has not allowed me to have children, so in order to keep up with my sister, I'm going to let you, my handmaiden, have children for me." Now, does that make any sense at all? I just feel sorry for Jacob. I mean, really, you start thinking of the drama that's created through all this mess. But do you think that he would take control of all that and go, "Okay, enough, guys. This is what we're going to do"? No, he just, like you said, "Oh, yeah," he just slips right into it and goes, "Whatever, man. Just whatever you want. Just, you know, I'll do it." He doesn't take leadership. Now, I know that it's difficult for us to do the things that are hard. The hard choices. When you know God's called you to make some hard choices, and yet you just kind of go along with the flow, man. Don't make any waves because you don't want trouble. And that's kind of what Jacob's doing here. But she whined to him, and she came to this place. "I'm going to give you my handmaiden," verse 4. "So she gave him her maid, Bella, as a wife, and Jacob went into her, and Bella conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, 'God has vindicated me and has indeed heard my voice and has given me a son.' Therefore, she named him Dan." Okay, now just, I want to jump ahead a little bit so you guys understand. Do you know about the 12 tribes of Israel? Has anybody read that far ahead, who got the understanding of all the 12 tribes? Now God used those 12 tribes to move in the nation of Israel. So if you want to look ahead, you can look ahead and read some of that. But God used these guys, even though it was very dysfunctional. God had a plan and how he was going to work through it all. I just want you to understand, through your dysfunctional life, God still can work with you, right? Even when you can't see it yet, he's still working with you. The thing you need to do is start to respond to the Lord's working in your life. Know that he is and respond to that so that you can have vision, so that you can understand when the things come your way, you just won't roll with whatever comes your way, but you inquire of the Lord. And that's something that at this point Jacob didn't do. And he's been known for not doing it. I mean, he would rather deceive than to go and inquire of the Lord. So, and it's like the whole family's got this dysfunction going on. Do you guys understand generational curses? You may not even know your great-grandfather, but I guarantee you, you have some of the things that he passed down to you. Just is, right? Those genes are amazing. And those things kind of go down from generation to generation until somebody says enough. If there's alcoholism in your family generations, good chance you're dealing with it, right? Good chance somewhere along the line you're going to have to recognize there's a spiritual thing going on here that's got a hold of my family, and I'm in it, and I'm going to have to make those changes. Remember I talked about hard choices? Somebody's going to have to go, enough. Enough. There'll be no more alcohol in my family lineage. It's going to stop here. and you make those choices and you stay with it. That changes generational curses. Instead, it turns it into generational blessings. So, Rachel's maid, Bella, conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. So Rachel said, "With mighty wrestling, I have wrestled with my sister, and I have indeed prevailed," and she named him Naphtali. Now, there's this thing going on between these sisters about having children, right? And it's like they're fighting each other to bear these children and to give Jacob, to win Jacob over, so that they would be important to him. And Jacob's just kind of going with the flow and all the stuff that's going on in his household. He's probably spending more time with the flocks than he is at home right at this point. When he comes home, he has to deal with all the issues. How many guys, you know what that's like? You know what it's like to come home and deal with family stuff, right? And the wives are going, "Listen, mister, you helped have these kids. Time for you to do something with them." And you go, "Right, whatever you want, honey. Just, you know, I'll do it until you can get back to work." Come on, guys. Really? And when Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took her a maid, Zilpah. So now we've got other maids involved, and give her to Jacob as a wife. Yeah, you guys say that. Let's trade ship places with him. How many guys would like to have four wives? I mean, you might look at that side of it, but the other side of it is pretty dim. Have eyes to see the truth. The truth will set you free. It's a whole lot of issues going on that you could probably not have to deal with if you made good choices. So Leah's maid, Zilpah, bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, "How fortunate." So she named him Gad. So out of all these four women now are coming the 12 tribes of Israel. And they're coming out of this dysfunction, and God's thinking this, knowing what they're doing, already knew what they were going to do before they did it, and said, "I'm going to take this bad thing that all this is going on, and I'm going to turn it into something that I can use." I could do the same thing with you. How many of you guys done a bunch of bad stuff in your life? He can turn that into wisdom on your part, and then he can use it for good. And it's up to us how we choose to follow the Lord and grab a hold of it and be wise. Leah's maid, Zilpah, bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, "Happy am I for women. That women will call me happy." So she named him Asher. Now, in the days of wheat harvest, Reuben went and found mandrakes. Now, I did some study on mandrakes. Mandrakes was a plant, actually. It was an herb, and they used it for healing purposes and different things like that. In fact, the myth is, and it really was, because it really didn't work that way, but they thought it did, and they used it for fertility. They would take it so they could be fertile. And so that's what Rebecca was trying to do here, was because she was barren. And so really what happens is God deals with most of that. I know that there's things that happen today, but I'm a product. Our family is a product of healing there. My wife, as you know, couldn't have children. She was in what they would call in the Old Testament barren. She couldn't have children. And so we went to different doctors, went through all kinds of things and fertility things and this and that and the other thing. And we went to church one day, and there was somebody there, and they were praying, and they brought Joey forward and I prayed over her and said that she was going to bear children. And Joey went, "Really? That's awesome, because I've been having a hard time getting there," right? So she received that word, right? And it was just weeks later she was pregnant. And so all I'm saying is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make you path straight. So if you are having difficulty with something, maybe you've got other things. Like today we prayed for somebody who was dealing with growths. And that's a tough place to be. But all I can say is, you know what? You need to get real close to the Lord and trust in him and ask for his healing. Because God is a healing, working God. He's a miracle worker, and he loves you. And if you can partner with him, trust me, he's got the best in mind for you. So now in the days of wheat harvest, Reuben went and found mandrake in the field and brought them to his mother, Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "It's a small matter for you to take my husband, and would you take my son's mandrakes also?" It's amazing how we twist things around in our mind, isn't it? So, because it was never meant to be Leah to be Jacob's wife. And yet she's saying, because she was the firstborn, it was her right, and the younger sister got in the way, right? But she said to her, "It is a small matter that you take my husband." Did she? No. "And would you take my son's mandrakes also?" So Rachel said, "Therefore, he may lie with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes." So here we go. Now we're trading Jacob for stuff. It's like, what in the world is going on? When Jacob came in from the field in the evening, then Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come into me, for I have surely hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he laid with her that night. Jacob is just, what? I would say, all right, what's going on here? You know, come on. What is happening? Now we're trading things for me? I mean, come on, we got to get this under control. But he didn't. So God gave heed to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Then Leah said, "God has given me my wages because I gave my maid to my husband." So she named him Issachar. Leah conceived again and bore six sons to Jacob. Then Leah said, "God has endowed me with a good gift. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have bore him six sons." So she named him Zebulun. Afterward, she bore a daughter and named her Dinah. How would you like to be a girl in that mess with all those guys? The only girl, the only daughter amongst all those brothers. Wow, bet she was spoiled. Or really tough, one of the two. I don't know. How many of you guys got sisters? Come on, men. You got sisters? Were they tough? I don't know about you, but my sister was flat out mean. She had things under control, and it was her way or the highway, and I got scars to prove it. Then God remembered Rachel, and God gave heed to her and opened her womb. So Rachel's really wanting to conceive a child, and God didn't forget her, right? He's looking at all these things going on, and he hears the heart. You guys have to capture the depth of what's going on here. These girls are praying to God for certain things, and do you think God doesn't want you to have your deepest desires? Right? Do you think he's withholding your deepest desire from you? No, his heart is that you get what your desires are. He does. And so when you think that God has abandoned you and you've prayed and he doesn't hear your prayers, think again. You need to just remember that God is hearing you. And he knows what's best for you. 23, so she conceived and bore a son and said, "God has taken away my reproach." She named him Joseph, saying, "May the Lord give me another son." How many of you guys read the story of Joseph? Isn't that amazing? Now, I wonder if she thought about that much, about what Joseph's life would be like. And all I know is you can do a study in Scripture for yourself. Look up and do a study on barren women in the Bible and see what you find out. Every son that was conceived from a barren woman, God used. Every one of them. They didn't do so well. Some of them, one of them was Samson. He was a judge. Remember Samson? Remember what he did? Not too sharp. But God used him, and his wife gave him, or his mom gave him to the Lord. And so there are many others. Samuel had a barren mother, was born. So what you'll find is God hears your cry And not only does he hear your cry, but he uses what you prayed for amazing things. 25. Now we're going to get away from the family dynamics. We're going to jump into some guy stuff here. Now, it came about when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, his father-in-law, "Send me away that I may go to my own place and to my own country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me depart. For you yourself know my service which I have rendered you." But Laban said to him, "If now it pleases you, stay with me. I have divined." Now, this divination thing that was going on for Laban shows me something about Laban, that he understood God, and he knew about God, but he didn't have a relationship with God. Because you don't get information from the demonic and use it for your good and still have a relationship with God. It doesn't work very well. So what he's doing is he's seeing that God's hand is on Jacob, and he's using Jacob for his benefit, right? So that the Lord has blessed me on your account. So he doesn't have a personal relationship with God. Do you guys catch that? Laban doesn't understand that God is there for him as well, but he's using Jacob because he sees that God's hand is on Jacob. Do you think God's hand is not on you? Are you coming to hear from the Lord from somebody else? Right? Are you chasing after something to hear a word from the Lord? Listen, your best bet, if you want to have answers from God, don't try to go get answers from somebody else. You get them from the Lord. Your best choice is to get the straight from the horse's mouth. Right? Because you will, if you're chasing after answers from the Lord, from prophetics, I mean, and there is people that can give words to you, but if you're out there chasing after a word from the Lord, that's not God's heart. God will bring a word to you through your devotion to him and through the Bible or through circumstances of life. You'll hear from the Lord if you have a relationship with him. You don't have to go chase that from somebody. Now, it may come to you. A prophet may come to you and say, "Listen, I got a word from the Lord for you," and that's all great. But chasing after things like that, I think, is dangerous ground, because you could get bad information. And if you do get that information, you better go to the Lord and find out, is this really from you, right? Test these things to see if they're true. And so you'll find out that Laban's kind of using Jacob. Verse 28, and he continued, "Name me your wages and I will give it." But he said to him, "You yourself know how I have served you and how your cattle have fared with me. For you had little before I came, and it has increased to a multitude. And the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also?" So he said, "What shall I give you?" And Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything. If you will do this one thing for me, I will again pasture and keep your flock. Let me pass through your entire flock today, and removing from there every speckled and spotted sheep, every black one among the lambs, and spotted and speckled among the goats, and such shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later when you come concerning my wages, even one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, will be considered stolen." So basically what he's saying is, I'm gonna take the spotted or the black critters from your herd, which there were very few. And he said, "I'll take those and I'll build my herd from that few, and I'll take care of that'll be my wages." Right? So basically, if you do the research, you'll find out that those critters got killed anyway, because they weren't pure stock. So they were the first to go, and they kept the non-blemished ones, right? So they were considered blemished. So these spotted and speckled ones, he took out of the herd for himself. Now, Jacob had been a herdsman his whole life. He understood these critters. He understood how it worked, so he knew what he was doing when he did it. He was going to build his herd off these critters. Just because they were spotted didn't mean they weren't good. Right? So that's what his plan was all along. And then when it came time to separate and to take his herds away, they would know whose was Jacob's and whose was Laban's. And so there would be no argument. So he's pretty wise. Figured it out. He thought ahead. So Laban said, good, let it be according to your word. So he removed on that day the striped and spotted goats and all the speckled and spotted female goats, every one with white in it, and all the black ones among the sheep, and gave them into the care of his sons. So they separated the ones that were solid colored and the speckled ones, separated them, and the white ones went to Laban's son. And so they separated them right then. And he put distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob. And Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. So they separated the herds. They went 3 days' journey away from each other so they wouldn't be together making critters. And Jacob took fresh rods and poplars, almonds, plants, and trees, and peeled white strips them, exposed the white which was in the rods, and set the rods which he had peeled in front of the flocks and the gutters, even in the waters where the flocks came to drink, and they mated when they came to drink. So the flocks mated by the rods, and the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. So interesting thing that took place, and I have no idea if this works or not. I actually looked online to see if doing such a thing would make these critters come out spotted. And they actually said on what I read, it is that it could work, and it wasn't that it was what was put in the water, because he peeled the bark and put it in the water, and the chemical reaction with that bark caused them to blemish, and I thought it was an interesting topic. I just didn't know. I was thinking, well, is this the hand of God, or naturally could this possibly happen? Well, I don't know, but I can think this, that who. How did Jacob come up with such a thing? You know, he must have been around him a long time, so he had to have some understanding. So Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the stripes and all the black in the flock of Laban, and he put his own herds apart and did not put them with Laban's flock. Moreover, whenever the stronger of the flock were mating, Jacob would place the rods and set of the flock in the gutters so that they might mate by the rods. But when the flock was feeble, he did not put them in. So the feeble were Laban's and the stronger was Jacob's. Sneaky, deceiving critter. And the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks and female and male servants and camels and donkeys. So we see that this deception thing has been going on and on and on. Now listen, I thought about this, and I thought about, well, how, Lord, does this apply to our lives, right? What can we get from this to bring it home to us, right? What possibly information in this Bible understanding that we can just come home and understand? And I thought about that for a minute, and I thought, there's a ton of stuff right there that we could grab hold of. I mean, spiritual understanding behind listening to the Lord is a huge thing. Because listen, if we can hear the voice of the Lord speaking to us, it would change our lives, wouldn't it? Now, in this case, there was all kinds of dysfunction going on. And where in the scripture do you ever see Jacob right there in that last scripture inquire of the Lord if this is what he should do? He had this all planned out in his own mind. And what he didn't know is if God didn't prosper him, he wouldn't have prospered. He could have done all that stuff he wanted to, and it wouldn't have made any difference. Right? It would all fell apart. And I thought about my life and how God's been in it. And you can think about yours as well. Because I was on this path of business and going down that path of making money and building my kingdom. And doing that, I understand what that looks like. And I did it. I prayed. I honestly did. I prayed for all those things, and God allowed it to happen. Right? And he did it for a reason. The reason why he did it is so that I would be able to see him in it. So that when it came time, in his perfect timing, when he said, Dave, I want you to do something for me, he knew that if I seen him in my life, that he would capture my attention when he asked me the question. right? And he knew exactly what he was doing. He was working with me through all of that, because when I look back, I remember specific prayers that I prayed intently about. And one of them was, well, many of them, one of them is that I would marry a faithful wife. And we're still married, right? 36 years later, we're still married. And one thing Joey is faithful. She's put up with me all these years and still here. Some of you gals, you know, can relate with that. Put up with that old man for that long, and you're still with him. You're faithful. And then I prayed for a son. Now, when we got together, I had no idea that Joey was going to have issues, right? She wanted 6 children. God knew that was not a good idea. So he gave us 1, and he was enough. So I prayed for a son. Now, Joey says, what if it's a girl, Dave? She's all pregnant, right? Well, what if it's a girl? I said, it's not. It's a boy. She goes, how do you know? Because that's what I prayed for. And so he was born, and he was a boy. And then the next thing I prayed for is, Lord, I really don't want to spend my life working for somebody else. I want to work for myself. I want to have my own business, right? And he allowed me to do that. And the next thing I prayed for is, I had this dream ever since I was a little kid building Legos, or not Legos, wasn't Legos back then. It was those wooden blocks. What was they called? Lincoln Logs. Yeah, we had a box of those things when I was a kid, and I'd build these log houses. You know, I always wanted to think, I thought that was cool. I want to build a log house. So I got to do that. And I look at all those things that God allowed, and he allowed it, because if it wasn't for his hand in my life, I'd never been able to do all that, right? So it was by his hand that he allowed all that to happen, and then he popped the question. And he said the question. The question was, Dave, would you lay down your kingdom for mine? Would you let all these things that I allowed for you to not build your kingdom anymore, but build mine? And let me tell you what. He captured my attention with the question, and I couldn't shake it. And I often wondered, Lord, what would have happened if I would have said, no, I won't do it. Right? What would he have done? I don't know. I don't even want to think about that. But yeah. Praise God, God's in control. So you can analyze these things that we've read today in a life of Jacob. Right? Now just start thinking about your life a little bit. Come on, honestly think about the things that you've gone through. And yeah, they were tough. Some of them were hard. Some of you guys went through some stuff that I would, you know, wouldn't even understand. And you're there. Some of you are in the midst of some of those decisions. Some of you are living through bad choices. You made some bad, bad decisions. And you're walking out some of those things that you've created. And maybe it wasn't even your fault. Maybe somebody else in their hand in your life has created this mess for you to deal with. But through it all, you understand God is God. And he's there even through all of these circumstances of life. As we see, there are some crazy circumstances that went on in Jacob's life right there. Right? And yet God was still there working through it and had a plan for his life. He does for you. And I don't know where you are with the Lord today. Only you know that. Only you know what your relationship is with God. And I know that some of you guys are going through tough deals right now. Some tough decisions and tough things have happened. And what I want to encourage you with, and it's cool to read the scriptures, because you're going to find out if you turn your heart to God, turn your heart to the Lord, lean not on your own understanding. Quit trying to fix this thing. Right? It is what it is. It has happened. The past happened. You can't change the past. You can't. There's no way to go back and fix what happened back there. And you know what? Dwelling on it isn't going to help you. Right? Blaming everybody is not going to help you. Right? Maybe you were raised in a miserable home. But You can't keep blaming your parents for your decision-making today. It isn't going to help. All it's going to do is make you go in circles. You're going to run around that circle forever. And until you get that understanding of today's the day to make some changes, and how those changes start is I got to get on my face before the Lord, turn my heart toward Him, and start asking the hard questions. And this is what the hard question is. Lord, is it me? What can I change to better my life? How can I make things better, not only for me, but for my family or for my friends and my loved ones? What can I do to make it better? Because the only person you can be responsible for, literally, in change itself, is you. Nobody's going to do it for you, and nobody can make you change. God can't even make you change. He won't do it. He can draw you to Himself and He can give you good direction, but He's chosen to give you free will. And He's not going to step in the way of what He's chose. He wants you to come to Him because you choose to, not because you have to. It's out of love that He wants relationship with you, not out of holding heaven or hell above your head, because that won't work anyway. It's out of love. And love will conquer a bunch of stuff. And so your love for the Father and drawing close to Him in relationship will change everything. The circumstances may not change right away because you're still living in this world. And in this world, we will have tribulation. But listen, you guys, this is only one dimension of God, right? This is only one dimension. This life that we're living between birth and death is a single dimension of choice. Because God given it to us out of His love for us. He gave us this life. And then he says, if you follow me, right, I'll show you great things. And you may not be able to see it in this dimension. And the only way you're going to see the next thing is to get into His dimension of things and see it through His perspective. And then it all comes clear. But until then, you're wallowing all around this physical life and you're not seeing the spiritual atmosphere. You're not seeing the reality of what God's doing. Listen, if you just look simply at the fruits of the Spirit, just take a look at just that and forget about everything else for a second. And this is the Spirit of God, right? Evidence of the Spirit of God. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And you just look at that alone and think to yourself, if the fruit of the Spirit is in my life, what would that look like? It would be different, right? There wouldn't be strife and anger and bitterness and, you know, hatred, malice. All those things would look different through the eyes of God, through the Spirit of God, through the Holy Spirit. You would see it differently. And the only way you're going to be able to look at your life through God's eyes is to draw real close to Him and come to that place of relationship and ask Him, Lord, show me what it is you want me to see so that I can change, so that I can change. And then God shows you and you go, thank you, Lord. Now He's asking you to walk this way. And that's where the disconnect comes, right? That's where we come to church and we get this message from the pastor. And we hear the word of the Lord, come close to me, make some changes and walk this way. And then we still have to live in this world with all the circumstances. All these things are still going on. And yet God wants you to be different. Walk in His will. How is that possible? Well, let me say this. It is possible. And you know how it's possible? Your relationship with God's whispering to you and keeping you on that path of righteousness all the time. And when you start to stray, when things start to happen, what do? You got to come back to that place that you were a little while ago, which you heard the word of the Lord. And you stay in that walk. That's, the Bible's clear, right? It's very clear about relationship with him and how he, what he's asking us to do. And that is stay in real close relationship with him and do what he says. How hard is that? For some reason, it must be pretty difficult. But I think, and here's just my opinion, I think it's God's opinion too. I think it's way easier just to sell out and just to walk there all the time. Well, isn't it? Why don't you just give it up? Let go of all those things that would hinder you and just say, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to walk. I'm going to walk in righteousness. Well, isn't that possible? Come on, is it possible? I think if it wasn't possible, that God would have said that. Well, that's not possible. But he said it's possible, and he tells us how it's possible. Because he came and died so that we can walk in relationship with him. And he sent us what? A helper. So that I not only believe you can do this, I will give you somebody to help you to do it. Right? And so the one that's here to help us get it done, we reject him. Go, yeah. Well, wait. I don't know if I want that in my life. That's weird, you know, having the Holy Spirit lead me. We don't naturally think that way, do we? But when circumstances stand in front of us, the decision-making has to happen. Should I be doing this instead of just going with the flow? Why don't you just say, wait a minute, Holy Spirit, I know what I'm supposed to do. I just need strength to do it. I'm weak. These choices are hard. They're too hard for me to make. And God says, I know that. Let me help you make them. And you rely on him and you rely on his strength. And even if it's tough, you say, Lord, I'm not going to deviate from what I know I have to do. Come on, you guys, how many of you guys got some addiction? You're chewing tobacco or cigarettes or alcohol, right? And you aren't in control of it. Just be honest. It's controlling you. Because if it wasn't controlling you, you could not do it, right? There's some of you guys that are looking at pornography. And you know you're not supposed to, but it calls to you. If you were in control, you could turn it off. Or quit turning the pages. Come on. But the reality is you're addicted. It does something for your flesh. And so you gravitate toward it. Because it makes you feel better for a minute. And the reality is, what's God say? What does he say? And if he's whispering to you, stop. And he's not, that's the neat thing about the Lord. He doesn't grab you by the collar and shake you around. Say, listen here, buddy. You better get it right. I'm going to throw you right in a burning pit of hell. No, he's will. You know, God don't. Here's an interesting understanding. You know that God's not the one that puts you in hell? Does anybody figure that out yet? Who does that? It's your choice. You choose to go there because you don't want to be with him. That's just a plain out simple choice. Because what does the Bible say? He's willing that none would perish. But everybody would come to what? Repentance. What is repentance? Change. There's the answer. Change. But guess what? You don't want to do that. You would rather have it your way. And all I'm saying is, it doesn't work like that. If you want relationship with God, you can't have it your way, right? And Jesus was our example. What did he say? So not my will, Father, but yours be done. And so he did what he knew was the thing that needed to be done. And that's the part where we disconnect right there because it's too hard or it means change. Well, now, if you're calling and crying out for a relationship with the Heavenly Father who has all the answers and yet you choose not to change, What's God supposed to do with that? I mean, honestly, if you were him, what would you do? The neat thing about God, though, is he's always drawing you. He never leaves you or forsake you. He's not going to shove you but he's willing to work with you. You got to be willing to work with him. And so as we analyze our life and our story, and we see that God's been with us, and he's directing our path, and he's moving us in a direction that he wants us to go, and the only thing that's hindering that is what? Us. And so if God's speaking to you this morning, I mean, I'm not trying to beat you guys up. We all live in a world, and we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. I know that. But the reality is God wants it to be less and less, not stay the same, right? He wants us to grow. He wants us to get closer to him. And here's the tricky thing. If you're staying the same, right, then you're probably not going anywhere. I mean, or you're going backwards, right? So God wants us to get closer to him. And this morning, I want you to have that opportunity. You know, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. Let's just bow our heads for a second. Father, we come before you, and God, we hear the word of the Lord this morning. God, you're speaking clearly to each one of us. God, there's things that we need to change, and that means repentance has to fall upon us. God, and we need to be sincere about repenting before you, and repentant means that we don't do that again. Because we want to hear from you, God, and we want to do your will. And God, I know you have plans for everybody in this room. Lord, I know you have called everybody in this room today in this house to hear this word. And then, Lord, you're asking us to respond to you, to come to a place of repentance, a place of change in our life. And if there's addiction, any kind of addiction in our life, or I pray, God, that today we would make a new commitment before you, and that we would change. Lord, that we would just work on that one thing until we've overcome that with your Spirit. God, by your Holy Spirit, deliver us, Lord Jesus. And God, even in relationship, Lord, and attitudes, there's so many things, Lord, we could change. And God, that you would help us. And so I pray this morning that, Lord, you would just put your finger on that thing in our life, Lord God, that we just need to lay at your feet. And Lord, we need to listen to you, so that we can hear your voice and that we would move in that righteousness that you've called us to, holiness before you. God, we surrender. We ask for your mercies upon our lives. God, we don't want to be proud, and we don't want to justify anything. Lord, we just want to be honest and right before you. And so we ask that you would touch our hearts. God, speak to us clearly and help us to hear your voice. Alan, if you could find some music and worship, or a prayer team, if you could come up. You know, every week we can come to a place of the Lord touching us and speaking to us. And all I just want to say is, if the Lord spoke to you about something this morning, I would like for you to put feet to it. Because here's the thing that happens. Remember I talked about disconnect? The thing we hear it and we get it, but we disconnect with the action to it. What's the next step? And the next step is you get responsible for your own life. It's your responsibility to do something with it. And so what this is about is not anything to embarrass you. We don't want to embarrass anybody. We just want you to connect with the Holy Spirit so that you can grow. And so you put feet to what the Holy Spirit said to you, and I guarantee you he'll help you. He'll help you take the next step, because he knows you can't do it on your own. None of us can. And we want the presence of God, don't we? I don't think any of us would be here if we didn't. I want more of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want more of his presence in my life, and I want to hear him clearly so that I can make the best choices ever. Even when my flesh is screaming, I can say no to it. And all of our flesh screams at one point or another. And we're either going to give in to the flesh or we're going to give in to the draw of the Holy Spirit. And right now, this will strengthen your spirit to give in to him and not things of the world and not the flesh. So if the Lord's speaking to you and you know God says you need to put some action to this, then come up and we'll agree with you. You don't even have to tell us what it is. We just want to agree with you.